Hello, everybody. My name is Georg Artusma. I am the head of the department responsible for cooperation with member states at the European Patent Office. So the patent world is such as a bit exotic, so I will say a few words about the European Patent Office before I tell you what kind of initiatives we have up and running presently in the field of machine translation and what our plans for the future are. The fact that I'm here as the head of the department cooperation with member states already is a message, because it means we don't do it on our own, we do it together with the national patent offices. You won't be surprised if I tell you that the European Patent Office has a mission. Changes every now and then, but we have a mission. And you can read it here. What might be important is, if you take it seriously, that we are committed to delivering high quality and effective services to the customers, then for a European institution, languages is an issue. So it's clear that we need to do something to make our documents available to the users all over Europe, and only doing it by human translation is, as you can imagine, terribly expensive. A few words about the structure of the European Patent Organization. We are not, for historical reasons, that's how politics sometimes goes, we are not part of the European Union. We are international organization on our own, if you want, which consists of the European Patent Office, which is the executive body responsible for centrally examining European patent applications. And we have an administrative body, the Council, which is where the member states are represented. We have 35 member states, so you can immediately see in terms of member states, we are significantly bigger than the EU. So it's all the EU member states plus some others, so Norway, Iceland, Switzerland, Turkey. Somehow it's a part of preparing the grounds. As a side remark, one of the preconditions, one of the many, many preconditions to become a member of the European Union is to be a member of the European Patent Organization. So the Commission always wants to make sure that there's an alignment. We are a financially autonomous body, so meaning we are not living out of taxpayers' money, we live out of the fees that we get from our applicants. As I said, we are not an EU institution, and we are the second largest intergovernmental institution in Europe, at least in terms of staff. Present, we have around 6,500 staff members distributed over several sites. Should be, yeah, okay. So it's Munich, where we have the headquarter with around 3,500 people, The Hague, Berlin, then around 100 people in Vienna, and we have a small office in Brussels, which already shows that obviously we try to liaise as closely as possible with the European Commission. Okay. This was the introduction to the European Patent Organization, but we are here to talk about machine translation. For your information, we have, as I said, a machine translation program up and running. We have an initiative. And I'm going to say a few words about what this initiative is, how it, what the concept behind is, and what the status is, and then I go on to what we would like to see for the future. The present European Machine Translation Program was adopted in the year 2004 by the Administrative Council of the EPO. So whenever we do such a program, meaning we spend money, We need the okay from the council to do so. The technical approach is it's presently based on rule-based engines, and we have dictionaries built on IPC-based patent terminology. What it means is a certain term, of course, in a certain technical context might have a specific meaning. In the patent world, we talk about patent specification, we have the advantage that the documents are technically classified. So you know immediately from a classification code to which technical area it belongs, which means that the engine can use a specific dictionary for this technical field. We have delivered the first language pairs in 2008, which is Spanish English and German English. And as a kind of political background, I will say a few words on that. The European Council recently addressed the translation issue related to the community patent in Europe, which is a kind of political backing for what we plan for the future. The current approach is we buy engines which are offered on the market. We do not develop translation engines ourselves. It's definitely not our business, so we depend on what is available on the market. But we want to add some value to it, which presently, in the concept we have now, is we add technical dictionaries based on the patent classification. We don't do this on our own. We do it together with the external suppliers. And so it's coordinated, the whole project is coordinated in the EPO, and we have the project manager, Mark Heaney, here with us today. The current implementation is with English as a pivot language. So we translate English, German, English, French, English, Spanish, whatever, and nothing else. As I said, the engines are rule-based, and we come to our limits. We have some kind of political limits I will talk about later, but we also have technical limits. Particularly, we simply do not have, for a lot of European languages, rule-based engines on the market. So what we have today is this. We have English, and then we translate from English to the national languages. Some words about the status. Where are we? We deliver translations in two levels. One is generic dictionaries. You know, you have a very specific legal terminology in patents, etc. And then level two, dictionaries with technical terms which are based on the IPC, is the International Patent Classification. It's real-time translations, and it can be obtained via what is called ESPASNET. It's an internet platform which gives the users access to all the patent documents you can imagine. And if you find a document in, let's say, Italian, and you're not very good in Italian, you click a button and you get the translation. That's the idea. There's a specific machine translation portal. And we are not talking about the users outside, but the users inside the European Patent Office, meaning the patent examiners, they, of course, can use the system the other way around. If in their prior art search they find a Spanish document, they can have a translation on the fly of the Spanish document into English. We have German. We did it together with, in this case, the German Patent Office, the Austrian Patent Office, and the Swiss Patent Office. In 2008, we had around 60,000 translation requests, so it's up and running and it's used. And we see an enormous increase in the usage of it. Okay, it was the startup phase and it will level now, but obviously there is a big demand for it. For Spanish, we did it together with the Spanish office. We had around 35,000 translation requests in December last year. And again, we see an enormous increase in the usage. Italian is up and running, but at the same time work in progress, so meaning we have started loading dictionaries and documents, but it's still not finished, so we still hope to see some improvement in the translation quality by loading more and more documents to it. We have Swedish in cooperation with the Swedish office. The technical dictionaries are complete. We see some problems here with the basic engine, which we hope to solve in due course. French, this has done together with the French office, Belgium, Monaco, and Switzerland. It's planned to be operational in the second half of this year. We're quite optimistic that we can stick to this planning. Portuguese, it's about the same timing. It should be finished by the end of the year. Some other languages like Dutch, Finnish, Greek are in preparation. For some others like Romanian and Turkish, we have high demand from the national patent offices to do something. Unfortunately, we are stuck at the moment because we don't have suitable translation engines. So this is where we stand. And now I want to spend a few words of where we want to go. What we want or would like to see is, in the coming years, it says here 5 to 10 years, approximately, to introduce a machine translation system, which is A, tailor-made for translating patent specification. So of course, we can always use the engines that are on the market, but we would like to know, is there an added value? Is there an improving quality if we use the specific aspects which you have in the patent world, in technical terms, in legal terms, in syntax, whatever? And secondly, it has to be capable of translating German, English, and French to the national languages in Europe. German, English, and French, because these are the official languages of the European Patent Office. So our examiners work in German, English, and French. Or the other way around, if you want to file a patent at the European Patent Office, it has to be in one of the three official languages. If you file it in Italian, it has to be translated. Oh, okay. So this means whenever we publish a patent document, meaning we inform the public that, look, here is a patent right, be careful, watch your competitors. It's published in German, English, and French. And then in order to be read, it has to be translated, which is terribly expensive, and we think machine translation could help here. Which brings me immediately to the justification. The main target group is the public out there. We want to inform them about what kind of patents the European Patent Office has granted. There's something called the London Agreement. As I just said, we work in German, English, and French. We publish in these languages. Now, if you want to validate the patent in, let's say, Finland, you have to provide a translation into Finnish, and then it's done. So if you do think it through for 35 member states, it's not doable. In the European Patent Convention, there's the possibility that member states abstain from this obligation to translate. So they can accept the patent in the original language. But this is a highly political issue. And what the London Agreement is about is that a group of member states say, okay, if you abstain, I also abstain. And in order to support this political process, we want to make at least a machine translation available, which is not as good as a human translation, but which should be able to give a technical skilled person the understanding of what the patent specification is about. So the target group is a technical expert. So if the endings are not 100% correct, if the syntax is not 100% correct, a technically skilled person should nevertheless be able to understand the technical context. That's the kind of quality we need. And then the next step would be, it could be or should be a contribution to serving the translation issue we have in the context of the community patent. What we grant as a European Patent Office is, in the end of the day, not more than a bundle of national patents. So you can say, I want a patent in Spain, Germany, England, and that's what we do. But we don't have a legal title called community patent, which is valid for the whole European Union at once. And one of the main obstacles for coming there has always been the language issue. So the Portuguese presidency, I think 2 years ago, came with the idea, shouldn't we investigate the possibility of using machine translation to solve the problem? We are in contact with the European Commission, and I just said to the colleague from DG Language, I think it is, normally our contact point is more in DG Internal Market or DG Enterprise, but they are definitely, very, in particular DG Market, are very interested in this initiative. And of course, when we have these services in place, we also would use it to make national documentations available to the EPO examiners. So whenever they find, stick with the example, Finnish document, and from the English abstract or whatever, it sounds interesting, they should be in a position to click a button and get an English translation. It should at least tell them, aha, it's worth looking into it or not. But which already brings me to a point where the political context and the technical specifications are linked. Our primary focus is translating from German, English, and French into the national languages and not the other way around, which might have technical constraints. So it might be easier, I learned, to translate, for example, with a statistical engine from Finnish to English than the other way. So what we want to see in the future is this. So we want to translate German, English, and French into all the national languages. And then what we need to hear from the experts is what technical solutions are possible and what are the implications. So this whole discussions about rule-based versus statistical engines, hybrid approaches, whatever, as a layperson, frankly, I'm not interested in the technical details. I just want to know, would it work or not? Which criteria can we apply to do testing? It's one of the typical things. If I want to give this project to somebody, I have to have an idea how I test quality. How can different engines be combined? So I understand probably it will not be possible with a one-size-fits-all solution. So maybe we'll need a statistical engine here, rule-based there, a mixture in some others. I don't know. What would this mean for the architecture of the overall system, of course? And what would it mean for the implementation? So the implementation mainly is we introduce it into web services or whatever, yeah? How to link it all together. What are the challenges? Okay, we need to find suitable translation engines, and I understand the problem is not Spanish, and the problem is not German. The problem is maybe Finnish, Romanian, Estonian, Lithuanian, I don't know. Improve the quality of the translations, of course, step by step. Managing, as I said, the patent specificity, is that correct? So the specific aspects of what can the fact that we are in the patent field bring to it? How can we make use of that? How can we address it? And then once the system is running, it needs to be operated, it needs to be maintained, and somehow improvements have to be fed into the system. Which brings me to the final question of my presentation. What would researchers need from the EPO in order to make progress in this area? Yeah? So, thanks a lot.
All I think we don't have time for a longer discussion, but I think if I understand you, the discussion is, anyway, it has started now and it's ongoing, yeah, so I think unless anybody has a good solution to the problem of the European Patent Office right now, maybe start the discussion. It would be great if the community could stay in contact with you now during this process, because it seems that you have not completely made up your mind, right? Not completely, or?
We know what we want, but we don't know how to get there. Yeah?
So it would be good if you stay in contact. And and if you have solutions, maybe you can grab Georg Artelsmeier during the lunch break and tell him exactly how the thing can be solved.